Soul to soul, spirit to spirit, greetings of love from the island of Kauai. Our little island is bouncing back after what appears to have been a hurricane, and those of us who are living in this world saw all kinds of destruction to physical property. Fortunately, there must have been a beautiful consciousness on this island. There is a soul at work, functioning in all of the dear ones who walk this earth. And there was not a single casualty, not a single death. Some people here say it is because Kauai is a spiritual island. But whatever, it is bouncing back very nicely. The green is peeping through the brown. The hammers are all over, putting roofs back on. And we are all enjoying what might be called a resurrection of some sort, a sort of preview of rebirth. All taking place seemingly in the external world, while it is taking place within. Two thousand years ago, if you had been traveling on the road between Nazareth and Bethlehem, you might have passed a very interesting couple, a man and a young girl riding on a donkey. Perhaps there would have been nothing very distinguishing about them, except that she was pregnant. The man seemed quite a bit older, as if perhaps he was her father, at least to the visible eye of other passers-by. But if you had come up closely to the girl, you would have noticed something of a most unusual nature. It was a long journey, about 80 miles. Probably about 4 hours. And she should have been weary, complaining, distressed, but instead she was serene. And from within her radiated a strange inner joy, an illumination that covered her entire being. If the road was difficult, she didn't seem to mind. If the sun scorched her head and body, she seemed totally indifferent to it. If the cry of an animal broke the silence of the night, she displayed no fear, no anxiety, no concern of any kind. Actually, her heart was singing. Her joy flowed, and it flowed from the purity of a soul that had walked with angels. She was a liberated woman. She was free, and free in a way that no other woman had been free. She knew that God was with her. To the naked eye, she was riding in this world. But actually, this young girl was living in the kingdom of God. Many poets have written about this journey. Many historians have recorded the slope of the terrain, the probable food that they ate on the way, the hardships that they must have endured. But to my mind, the real story of that journey to Bethlehem has never been told for a very simple reason. It is not a story of words. It is a secret code of the Spirit. And it contains the key to your eternal life. Many of us will meet in a few months. In the city of Orlando. And Mary's secret must now become our secret. For just as she was preparing for a divine birth, so are we. And just as she had disciplined herself to receive the divine blessings as a constant inner impartation, so can we. I feel that the spiritual journey to Bethlehem is just as much a reality today for all of us as it was for Mary when she carried her unborn child to the city of bread. Now, there's a great similarity between Jesus riding into Jerusalem on an ass's colt and Mary carrying Jesus within her while she rides into Bethlehem on a donkey. There is one teaching about the infinite, undivided Christ, about the life that is without beginning or end or sickness or age. And just as the Christ expresses through the form of Jesus, the same Christ expresses through the form of Mary. Each is part of the one story. And right now, that story, seen spiritually, will prepare you for the supreme moment when Christ is born in you. Let us be still. And let us discover an important secret. Many of you have called about all kinds of illness, heart attacks, backaches, finances. You know what you've called about, so let's just take it from there. And right here, on this journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, let us bring into play that understanding which can release every form of illness that we know. The meditation subject is I am not sick. I am not sick. Now dwell with that very carefully. Your heart flutters. You feel worried. And the diagnosis of the doctor may be that you haven't anything structurally wrong, but still you have the pain occasionally. And you have all that goes with that kind of pain, all the fear, all the concern about this vast project that you're working on. How will it ever get done? What about the ones who are going to suffer if you're not around to do it? What about your own ego, your status in your profession? A friend had such a problem and called me. I didn't heal my friend. I didn't have to. We simply talked. And what did we talk about? We talked about reality. Reality. I am not sick. The very moment you feel that you have a heart attack, what are you saying? You are taking yourself out of the kingdom of God, out of the fatherhood of God, out of divine life, and you are living in an illusion. You are living in the wrong self. Your self is never sick. This is how we begin our journey to Bethlehem. Your self is never sick. Your self is the living Spirit of God. And if for all these years you have walked the earth, you have never lived in yourself, now yourself is to be born in your realization. I am life. I am spirit. That which says it is sick is not I. Separate yourself from that which you are not. It can be done. And when you make the effort to do it, I in the midst of you will show you how. This bad heart, this sickness, whatever the problem, belongs to the world mind, and it is hypnotizing you into a false state of identity. No, world mind has a heart attack. World mind is sick. False identity has cancer. I am not sick. False identity has old age, arthritis, lack of supply. Eyes that cannot see do not belong to your identity. Hypnosis makes us think that we are sick, even while somewhere in us we believe that we are images of God. But images of God are not sick. So whatever is wrong is telling you that you are in the wrong identity. Only your identity is wrong, and everything wrong within that identity must be wrong. I am never sick. I am the Christ of God. I am eternally free, eternally perfect. And so I learn to release the identity that is sick. I die to mortality. But God did not create it. I love God, not error. I reject the unreality that confronts me, the unreality called imperfection. I and my Father are perfect, and nothing else exists. I die to that which is perishable. I refuse to compromise for a body that can be sick, that must die, for a life that must end. I remove fear. I remove self-doubt. I reject all qualities that deny my perfect identity. This is where I stand. I can see. I am free. Let this that seems to be happening go by like the wind. I stand in my invisible perfection. I am the invisible image of God. Please learn to separate yourself from the self that dies. You will break the material cord that binds you to all the illnesses of this world. I call this mounting the cross. It's a daily job. You die to unreality. You die to the life that seems to be ebbing away. You stand in the life that is forever. You shed all belief in mortality. You welcome Christ, the new birth. You sow to the Spirit, and soon you discover that you are entering the kingdom of God. Awakening from the mortal dreams. letting the fog of matter dissolve, letting heaven shine through on earth, letting divine love fill your life, until it is as warm as the sun in the sky within you. I'd like you to remember to practice that as often as possible, whether you're well or seemingly sick. Always change identities. At first you think, oh, I can't do that in the next 5 minutes. This thing is bothering me. This thing is torturing me. I've got to do something about it. But get in the habit daily of mounting your cross. Just a few minutes a day, many times a day, re-establish your identity as I, the Christ of God. It will give you a clear perspective that you are either making a choice between I, Christ, or a sickness, a pain, a lack, a limitation, which is not in I, Christ. And you must be aware of this distinction. You may be beautifully surprised to discover that sometimes, quite quickly, the hypnosis is broken. It seems unbelievable at times that a pain that was there in a moment is gone, and you realize the tricks of the world mind. But the way you break them is to develop the capacity to know and to live in your true identity faithfully, rejecting all that denies it every single second that you are aware of that identity. And now let's look at the experience of Mary with a new spiritual vision. For here we have a remarkable message that is directed to you if you are a seeker of divine truth. If you follow this truth of Mary's carefully, it will teach you how to transcend the world , how to break the illusions of the world , how to achieve a successful transition in consciousness out of material sense , and it will enlighten you to the degree that you will know reincarnation for you is no longer a possibility. Many times on this journey to Bethlehem, Mary must have thought of the beautiful moment when within her soul she realized that she was being born into Christ consciousness. Think of a young girl, perhaps at this moment, about early 14, even early or late 13, before she was impregnated. And within her, she is told that she will give birth to a child. And she says to the angel, well, how can this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel assures her that the Holy Ghost shall overshadow her. The power of the highest shall impregnate her. And the holy thing which shall be born of her shall be called the Son of God. What would happen to a child today who received this inner impartation? Or who read about it? Would she do what Mary did? Would she be willing to set aside the human belief in the fatherhood of man? Would she say to the angel, now wait a minute, I may be young and naive, but not that naive. Would she be able to put aside all the biological facts that she'd been learning in her high school about man and woman? Would she believe? Mary did, but why she did is the big story. Why she did is the secret of Mary. Calmly, she said to the angel, let it be unto me according to thy word. You see, Mary had a different understanding of God than the world has today. It was intuitive. It had come about through her mother, through her father, through her study, through her training, through her discipline, and through her own soul. To her, God was not an abstraction. God was not up there. To Mary, God was here, where I am. God was not forbidding, austere, distant, remote. God was the reality in which she lived. You see, Mary's secret was that she lived daily where God is. She lived in the kingdom of God. And for all of us who yearn for the divine birth of Christ in us, learn from this young girl that Christ will only be born in you when you are living in the kingdom of God on earth. This was the contribution of Mary. And with this daily discipline to live in the kingdom, the very Spirit of God in her broke the mortal dream. For with God nothing is impossible. In my Father's house I am. And the moment I accept the bad vision, the bad back, the heart attack, I am saying, God is not here. I am dwelling in the absence of God instead of the presence, and lo and behold, I have been sowing to the flesh. Mary introduces mankind to a new God, a new Father, a new source. Mary's God is not a belief in her head. It's not an idea in her mind. Mary's God is so accessible that she is able to go direct to this God and conceive. Her faith is in the presence of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. And somehow she has faith in the very substance of God. This faith is so total that without the slightest effort, she overcomes the world belief in the fatherhood of man. You see, subtly, through Mary, the source of life is shifted from man to God. Mary has an awareness that spirit can create a child of spirit without a man. That a perfect God can create a perfect child. And in this understanding, she is telling us across the centuries that God cannot create bodies that die. God cannot create bodies that become sick, or bodies that kill other bodies. Mary is revealing the hypnosis of the human body. Through Mary, you now have the great teaching of God that the only father of man is spirit, that the only source of life is perfect spirit, and therefore real life must be as eternal and perfect as spirit, its creator. Mary is erasing humanhood. Mary is erasing the concept of a material human race. Mary is revealing the Spirit of God as your identity, as the identity of mother, father, brother, sister, child, as the identity of mankind. And in revealing this, she reveals correlatively the nothingness of physical humanhood. When all this sinks in, you have God saying through Mary, I am your Father. I am your Creator. I am your Source. I am your Life. I am your Substance. Mary is enacting your original creation as the Spirit of God, and nothing has changed since then. So stop dying. Stop believing in heart attacks. Stop believing in poor vision. Stop denying my fatherhood. Stop denying my presence, my perfection in you, and my perfect life in you. Best way to stop is to stop honoring what I did not create. In the spiritual birth of Christ in Mary, God is demonstrating that human life is a counterfeit. That divine life flows directly from God, and best of all, that divine life is on earth. It was wonderful when Isaiah said, God is with us. Mary proved it. She accepted God's word. That divine life on earth is God's will. And then she let that life express through her. Christ, through Mary, demonstrated that human life is a form of hypnosis. That human lives end only because they are not the true substance of life. Please remember that. Human lives end only because they are not the true substance of life. Human bodies die only because they are not God-created. 2,000 years ago, this was a revolution. This was a New Testament. This was presenting a spiritual God, a spiritual man, a spiritual universe. And it was planting a seed in the consciousness of man that ultimately would give birth to a new self, on earth. A new self that is now emerging within you. A new self that is the universal reality of man. We, like Mary, are becoming receptive to the Spirit within. And to intensify and accelerate our receptivity, simply know this. The simple reason that Mary herself was responsive to the Spirit. The great secret of the Immaculate Conception has been overlooked in our worship of persons and personalities. What is the Immaculate Conception? How can it make us more perceptive to the Holy Word? Yes, you could say, like Daniel, Mary was innocent, pure. But you have to know that means without corporeal sense. Mary was pure of material thought. And she got that way by living in her soul. If she had not learned how to live in her soul, she could not have learned how to live in the kingdom of God. It was the capacity to live in her soul that kept her daily in the kingdom of God where Christ lives. And this abiding in the kingdom as a living soul broke the world mind. And with it, all the limitations of material law. I and my Father are one, Mary was saying. I am one with Source. And because she was in her soul, living in the kingdom, one with Source, she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And just as the walls of Jericho collapsed, just as the lion's den held no terror for Daniel, the cosmic mind collapsed. It had no power. It could not do battle with one who lives consciously in soul, in the kingdom of God. That inner peace became inner joy. The wedding of soul and spirit took place. And Mary was emancipated, liberated from every material law. Now let's take the teaching of Mary into its relationship to you in a way that I hope you will never forget. What makes the Immaculate Conception truly earth-shaking is that through it, God is teaching that the real virgin is not Mary, but the soul of Mary. That soul is one with Source. That soul receives the divine impartation. That soul conceives direct from God, the infinite invisible. And the mist of a world that is not is removed. My soul, says Mary, doth magnify the Lord. This soul consciousness expands into Christ consciousness. And the invisible body of spirit, which is the real man, is revealed. Nazareth is where Christ consciousness ignites the soul of Mary, or the soul of you. That is your Nazareth. And the moment this happens, you are on your way to Bethlehem, because your soul must feed that Christ spark within you. It must go all the way to the seventh heaven. It must go to the city of substance, the city of bread, which is Bethlehem. For on the way to Bethlehem, oil from your soul is weaving the garment of immortality from the infinite. And that is the reason that Mary is making the journey with Joseph to Bethlehem. It is an outer symbol of her soul feeding the inner child, feeding the Christ, as we all must do. No word of God is devoid of power. And whatever your soul hears, whatever it receives, can be trusted. Whatever God says, whatever God does, is already done. And it is waiting for your soul to bring this finished kingdom out of the invisible to earth. The Immaculate Conception takes place within your soul, as it did within the soul of Mary. It is the secret teaching of God to man that within the virgin soul of everyone on this earth is the living unborn Christ waiting to emerge as the vital force of your consciousness. And for this supreme achievement, you must live daily in the kingdom of Christ, in your soul, not in your mind. Soul birth begins the New Testament. And soul birth begins your real self. Because the key to your transition, your divine substance, your eternal life, is the birth of Christ consciousness in your soul. So now, let us rest. Accepting the inner presence as a permanent dispensation, the inner kingdom within your soul. Always present, always ready to birth Christ in you. How beautiful to know that we need not speculate or grope for proof or doubt or fear or imagine all sorts of vague happenings that can befall us when we have the presence of the kingdom within instead of the absence. Oh, you may not feel it instantly, but like Mary, we can turn to the Spirit and say, "Let it be unto me as thou hast said." Like Mary, we can say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Like Mary, we can discipline ourselves to reject all that is unlike God, all that speaks of an absence of God, and know that the source of my being is God, and therefore all imperfection is a cosmic lie. Die to that which is not by living in that which is. And one day when you know the presence, you know the wisdom is present. You know the power of God is present. The intelligence is present. When it all homogenizes into one beautiful knowing, there will be that subtle inner experience of an unexplainable joy. That will be the sign to you that you are living in the kingdom and not in the world. Let us tarry a moment in Nazareth before we undertake our journey to Bethlehem.